I wonder where you would put yourself on this picture. It's a picture of some sea. It's underwater. It's a photo taken underwater. It's some sea and some seagrass. Where would you put yourself? This is a rhetorical question, no shouting out thoughts and things like that. When you look at your life, it might be that you think of yourself as someone who is on top of the water. You're someone who is swimming or surfing. You're riding the waves. Things are going really, really well. It might be, though, that you're treading water, that you're stagnant. You're staying in the same place. And actually, this is a lot of effort just to stay in the same place. And your life is just staying still. But it's taking up so much effort to just stay still and to survive and keep your head above the water. It might be that today you are feeling that you have sunk underneath. I want us to consider how being like seagrass can help anyone in any of those stages of the water. And I know that that's a weird thing, and you might be thinking, oh no, that's just a bit crazy. Some fascinating thoughts about seagrass. They are the ecosystem engineers, literally creating foundations of life on the seabed. Not only do seagrass meadows pump out a staggering amount of oxygen each day, more than 100,000 litres per hectare, they also bring stability to the ocean floor through their root systems. They build an ecosystem around themselves. That's pretty cool, if you like that kind of thing. Seagrass brings purity to this earth. You might think, well, how? Well, they can absorb carbon up to 35 times faster than the Amazonian rainforest. 35 times more effective than the Amazonian rainforest. Seagrass. Did you know that? It's pretty cool, isn't it? And what they do is they bring something that is poison to us, and they pump out something that we need for life. They pump out oxygen. Last year, 36.8 billion tons of CO2 was produced by humanity. Seagrass gets rid of 27 million tons. It's pretty good going. Just for seagrass, bringing purity to the earth. Seagrass brings life support, refuge, and home. A single acre alone can support over a million species. Seagrass helps people see more clearly if they're swimming in the water because they purify the sediment and things. They provide protection for our coastlines, helping to lessen the strength of a wave, etc., etc. And this is one of the things that I want us to think about a little bit more. Seagrass grows, and from one seagrass plant, it can produce a whole meadow within a year. And you might think, whoa, that's interesting facts about seagrass, but how on earth are we going to be a bit like seagrass? Anyone thinking that? One or two. Everyone else knows. I don't need to say anything else. That's wonderful. There are some things about seagrass that are similar to the kingdom of God. And as we try to build a different world and we pray that prayer from the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, God, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. May your kingdom come will involve providing protection. It'll provide purity. It will multiply. It will support life and refuge and homes for people. It will help people see clearly. It will protect. It will be a foundation for life. I want us to grow to the kingdom of God. And to help us with that, we're going to think of not just seagrass, but different things, including two parables that Jesus taught. We're reading from Matthew chapter 13. And as we go through these verses, we will think about how the kingdom of heaven, like that seagrass plant that over a year can produce a whole meadow, how the kingdom of heaven multiplies. It grows from a small thing to something big. The kingdom of heaven grows from a tiny seed. I've dropped it now. I can't even see where it's gone. It's so small. To a tree. So Matthew chapter 13. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour until it worked through the dough. I've mentioned seagrass. We've had the giant redwood analogy. Jesus then uses a mustard seed and yeast. And I want us to think about some of these words just so that we understand what Jesus is saying. First of all, he is teaching a parable, not just direct instruction. He's not saying that the kingdom of heaven is mustard seed. He's saying it's like a mustard seed. A parable is him teaching something for us to learn, but it may not be literal. So we don't need to start planting mustard seeds or start making bread. Parable Jesus uses to teach a lesson. And when we come across a parable in the Bible, it's really helpful to recognize it as a parable so we don't take everything, we don't read into every single part of it into lots of different detail. So for example, with this one, some commentators suggest that the seeds represent Israel, the smallest of nations, but God's chosen people, and he will grow the kingdom of heaven through that. Jesus isn't saying that. He's just using it as an analogy with the birds of the air. And this is pretty cool. In Israel, it's on a migration path, and over 500 million birds fly and take a stopover in Israel each year, twice. So when Jesus says about the birds of the air can perch in its branches, it's like from Israel, where Jesus was speaking, birds from far, far away, people from far, far away can come into the kingdom of God. We need to be careful not to read into that whole birds bit. But it's an analogy, and the fact about the birds as well. Who's planted mustard or cress? Similar kind of thing. A few people. Maybe you've done it in school or Sunday school, or you've done it with children, where you get some tiny little cress seeds or mustard seeds. They're about that big. That's in between my fingers and thumbs. And you put them on paper towel and or cotton wool, and then they grow. And you come to a passage like this and you think, I never grew a plant. My cress or mustard was like that, and I cut it and put it in a sandwich. What's Jesus talking about? Does he have like super-powered mustard plants? Is he talking about that? Well, no. There's a difference between a mustard plant and a mustard tree, and it's really important. So when we read the Bible, it's really important to think, well, that doesn't really quite make sense. Let's have a look into this. And there is actually a mustard tree. It's quite a big tree, Salvador, and it's so big that it's come off the screen. That's amazing. I sounded really Welsh then. Mustard plant, small plant. Mustard tree, big. And it's from a small seed, but the branches are big enough for the birds of the nations. Just so that we understand something about the yeast. This is a bag of flour, not other white powder. And it would be about 60 times this that Jesus is talking about. And 60 times that. And that's what he's talking about. So 60 times of that will make this into bread, or 60 times of that into bread. Sometimes it's helpful for us to think visually or look visually at what Jesus is saying about. And with the yeast, he's saying that something so small, with the right conditions, being kneaded in, being mixed in, will cause multiplication growth throughout the whole dough. For any of you who have made bread from scratch with yeast, you will learn that it needs the right conditions. You need to work it in, but also you need some sugar and some water to help activate the yeast and to get it going. And what happens is a multiplication growth. Something so small having an unstoppable growing and advancing impact. And Jesus is likening that to the kingdom of heaven. He's likening with the tree. He's likening the smallest of seeds. We'll have a few trees growing here if I keep dropping them. Likening the smallest of seeds being planted and growing into the biggest of trees. He's saying that actually we're not going to despise the day of small beginnings, which is from Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. Because actually what God has in store, what God has in mind is he wants his kingdom. Actually, he doesn't just want it. He makes his kingdom start small, but have a multiplication impact and grow bigger than we could ever imagine. Mustard seed, yeast, giant redwood, and seagrass. All examples of growth and multiplication. If you've ever prayed the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, could you just put up your hand? I have. Have you ever prayed it and thought, let me be part of that. Let me actually be part of your kingdom coming. When we look at these verses in light of the Lord's Prayer, we see that actually God wants something to start small, but grow and grow and grow. Start small and then multiply. I want us to think about how in Scripture we have we're given a mandate to multiply. We need to think about what we're multiplying and then also look at Jesus to see how we can do it. Just to rattle through the mandate. Right at the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, then again in verse 9, then again in chapter 9, in chapter 16, chapter 22, and chapter 26, there's an instruction or a description of God's people being people who need to multiply. And this isn't just talking about sex and physical reproduction. It's talking about being image bearers of God and taking his image and his person and his presence and his purposes and filling the whole earth with the presence and the perfect purposes and reign of God. The mandate that is on humanity is to multiply and to fill the whole earth with the presence of God as his image bearers. So if that's our mandate, we need to ask ourselves, what are we multiplying? And this is where we go back possibly to the seagrass image. And where we are in the water, whether we're surfing, swimming, sinking, stagnating, or whether we're multiplying. What is it, if we're made to multiply, what is it that we are multiplying, if we are? When I was teaching, we would introduce multiplication initially as repeated addition. So you'd add, so 3 times 2 would be two, add two, add two. Okay? Everyone get that repeated addition? And then when you got used to that, you could actually think, well, let's just do three times two, and you'd work, be able to work that one out. What is it that you're repeatedly adding in your life or in others? What is it that you're multiplying? Maybe that when you think about your life, you're not actually multiplying things that are helpful. Maybe you need to think through, in order to answer this question of what we're multiplying, we need to think, well, what fruit are we bearing? What are we reaping? In Galatians chapter 6, we read that a person reaps what they sow. Whoever sows to please themselves, from themselves will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, as in God, from God will reap eternal life. Let's not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. What are you reaping? Is it something that you're proud of? Jesus spoke about yeast another occasion. And he said, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. The yeast of the Pharisees, it's not a seed, it's yeast. So just to use the yeast analogy, the yeast of the Pharisees is about hypocrisy and spiritual pride and self-righteousness. What is it that you're multiplying? Yesterday, I planted the wrong seed. I'm not talking about a tree. I'm not talking about seagrass. You might think, I love seagrass. I think it's amazing. But I'm not even going to be talking about that now. I woke up, started doing some work, and I had my quiet time, did some work. And then at 6:30, Myla came in. Can I get up now? No. But I get up at 6:30, Myla said. No, you're going on residential. Just get some extra sleep. Stay in bed for 30 minutes. She didn't like that. I didn't like the fact she didn't like it. Kara comes in about 7:15. Can I get up now? No. Notice my tone change. What I didn't realize was I was starting to sow seeds of irritation. This is confession time. By 9:30, most people in our family were beginning to show signs of irritation with one another. Who started it and multiplied it? No one's answering that question. It's obvious, isn't it? What we sow, we reap. What is it that you are sowing that is multiplying and having an impact in other people or in your life? Is it impatience that you're sowing and you can't understand why people aren't patient with you and it's all their fault? Actually, it might be because you're sowing a seed of impatience. Is it that you want everyone else to have a sense of hope? And as you think about that, you realize, actually, I'm not even sowing seeds of hope myself. So how can I expect others to grow in that, others around me? Or if you just want people to be kind. We need to think about what seeds or yeast we're using. Because we are made to multiply. We have a mandate to multiply. What is it that you are multiplying in your life and in other people's lives? If you want to have a sense of adventure and expectancy, the Bible would talk about that as faith. You need to start planting seeds of faith in those you are near to. If you want to have a legacy of integrity, you need to start living a life of integrity and sowing seeds of integrity and helping them to grow in other people's lives. Patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, these are all seeds that we could start planting in other people's lives if we want them to grow. What is it that you are multiplying? It might be that you are, you know, that's treading water, that stagnating position in the water, and you're just still, you're not multiplying, you're motionless. Maybe choosing today to start to plant something will make a difference. We'll kickstart a multiplication process. So what is it that you are multiplying? What is it that you want to multiply? The key to multiplication in the kingdom of God, we see with Jesus, is about relationship. He talks about a tree, he talks about yeast. And the tree, unless it goes into the ground, isn't going to grow. The yeast, unless it goes into the flour and mixes with things, isn't going to have an impact. It isn't going to multiply. And if we're trying to multiply something that God has given us, we need to actually be around people to multiply that seed, put that seed into their lives. Jesus, in John chapter 3, went out into the Judean countryside where he spent some time with them, and he baptized. The word that is used in the Greek, spend some time with, is literally to rub in, a diatribo, to hang out with, to spend time with, as we see it translated there. But it's actually to rub off on someone, to have the fragrance of you go on to someone else. Have you ever hugged someone who has loads of aftershave or perfume on, and that lingers with you for the rest of the day? Anyone or just me? No, just me then. Wow. It's that kind of, it rubs off and it lingers. What is it that you are causing to linger in someone else's life through the relationships that you have? Maybe you need to draw to mind the things, that the people that you're connecting with. Maybe it's in a workplace, and if you are in any kind of work and you want to multiply the kingdom of God in that place, this is a really, really helpful book. It isn't written with lots of Bible verses in, but it is built on kingdom of God principles. The 100 Acts Leader. Someone can borrow this copy if they come and see me later on, or you can get it. It's written published by the giant organization, and Graham Wakeman, who has spoken here before, is also connected with them. I really recommend that book if you're in the workplace of any description and you want to multiply. But it might be that it's a bit closer to home. It might be that, more specifically, there are things that you want to grow that will bring a bit of extra life to you and those around you. And I want you to think about this method. Every time I've gone into this tub, I've picked up more than one seed, but I just want you to think of one seed that you can sow this week. One seed that actually will bring kingdom of God life to you and to others. Is it the seed of patience in your family or in your home? Is it the seed of faith? Is it a seed of kindness, that you're going to try and speak kindly to people? Is it a seed of speaking the truth? What is it that you want to multiply in? And it starts with one seed and one decision. It might be that these kind of thoughts are a bit too big. And you can't single out one seed. So what you need to do is be like the little boy in John chapter 6, where he says, "Jesus, here we go. This is all I've got. And all I've got is yours." And what Jesus did was he took it and he prayed and he multiplied it and gave it to thousands. You've got a choice to single out one seed that you want to grow in this week, or simply say, take it all and multiply it, God. I want us to pause and pray and ask God to help us know how to respond. Some of these things could just be good living, good advice for living. If you want to improve your marriage, for example, sowing seeds of kindness and love with your spouse is a really good way forward. But with other things, as well as marriages, there's a spiritual element. And we need to ask God's Holy Spirit to take what we offer and enable us to see multiplication grow through it. So can I invite you to stand as the band come up? And we're going to pray that God will take whatever we give him, whether it's a one seed decision or whether it's a whole lunchbox, as it were, and that he will use it for his glory and for his kingdom to grow. Let's pray together. God, we need you to grow your kingdom. We can't do that by ourselves. We can have a go, but it's never going to grow as you want it to if we do it by ourselves. We need you to grow your kingdom in our marriages, in our relationships, in our workplaces, in our parenting, in our friendships, in our decisions, in this church, in this community. We need you to grow your kingdom. And we thank you, God, that when we pray the Lord's Prayer, there's a partnership agreement that you will use us if we're willing. So guide us as we consider what seeds that you want us to plant. And for some of us, if we're just saying, "Jesus, here's everything that I have, use it to multiply." As we've prayed for Dave and Natalie and Jed, as they say, "Here's everything that I have, use it to multiply." As we think of people who are doing that with their businesses and just saying, "God, this is everything that we have, multiply your kingdom through it." We pray, God, for the single seed decision and the whole lunchbox all in decision too. By your Holy Spirit, multiply your kingdom in this place and through us. We recognize that when any new life is born, when any kingdom life comes, it is a miracle. And it is only by you that it can happen. So help us to have faith that grows. Help us to have faithfulness to see the slow growth and the small growth, as well as the big expansions. In Jesus' name, amen.